Hello everyone. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're looking after yourselves. We're back with another episode of Behind the Curtain, where we have some in-depth conversations. You know, learn a bit more about some of the topics that we have spoken about in episodes, whether those are ones that have come out, or ones that are coming out, or sometimes on completely new topics and learning new things. So we've got, as usual, an amazing episode ahead, and we've got an even better and even amazing. I don't think amazinger is a word, but I'm going to coin it for today's episode and say that we've got an even amazinger guest speaker. And as I always say, you know, I don't want to bore you guys with the details. I don't want to make you guys, you know, read off their introduction because I'll never do it justice. So instead, I'm going to hand over to our guest speaker today. So Anna, could you just please tell us a bit about you?
Hi everyone, my name is Monica. I'm 23 years old and I'm from Portugal originally. I'm currently studying in Brno University. I'm in my bachelor's degree of marketing management. And yeah, I just work around a lot with university and the union, and that's a little bit what I'm going to be speaking about today.
Wonderful, amazing introduction. And yeah, like Monica said, we're going to be talking about mainly things about Brno. So if you're a Brno listener, this is the episode for you. But yeah, I think the most important place to start off with is essentially our first question, which is all about, you know, why did you decide to study at Brno?
So I always knew that I wanted to study abroad. I think that was one of the most experience that I wanted to have in my life, even to meet new people, meet people from new countries. So when I was choosing universities, one of my main focus was stay near some airports, because I always wanted, in case something happened with my family, something happened back home, that I had this disability of just go quickly. And even in terms of London, was the same thing. Portugal is around like 2 hours and a half from Portugal, so I was like, I want to have this experience, but at the same time I don't want to be as far from home, because I'm always scared that I need to go back for some reason. And I also always knew that I wanted a campus university. That was one of the experiences that I definitely want to have. So when I went to all the checkpoints, Brno was just like showing up in front of me, and I was like, yeah, this is it. This is completely it. And when I saw the whole diversity that Brno has, so many international students from all over the world, I just right away was like, this is university I want to. This is exactly what I want to experience.
Thank you for that. And, you know, it really is true. From previous episodes that we've done on like people who are international students and came to study at Brno, but also from friends in general, they say, you know, that is, and as a Brno student, I can attest to this, that it is really great that it is like that campus university. You know, everything's in one place. You know, you get to meet loads of people. There's loads of societies and stuff. And there's a lot that you can get involved in. And like you said, it sort of like gives you that option to sort of like dive into the student life and have all these things around you. Like, you know, you've got loads of places on campus to eat and socialize. You've got loads of events that go on throughout the whole week. There's also like special events that happen for whether it's, you know, certain times of the years, with whether it's, you know, religious festivals or cultural stuff, like Black History Month. Yeah, there's like loads of stuff that always goes on, and it's really nice because you see that change on campus. And I think that was definitely something, myself, but also I know other people felt like, and I'm sure you did as well, that when COVID happened, and like campus was basically bare. I remember I came to campus once and I was just like, wow, this is very strange. And just seeing like a lack of people. So it's nice that things have, you know, gone back to more normal. There's a lot more people on campus. That, you know, that life that's on campus is back there. So yeah, definitely agree with you on that.
I was on campus during COVID time because I came either way, and it was just so beautiful what we created here. Even though there was not as much events as it officially, we as a campus and as international students just came together. So we created a big family here during COVID. It was absolutely beautiful. I still talk with everyone that I was talking first year. Instead of just focusing more on just parties and everything, we all just actually came together to be able, like, make sure everyone was not alone. Everyone had like their own company, their own friends. So it was really amazing what we created here. I'm so proud of that year, honestly.
Yeah, that's really powerful, because like you said, you know, I didn't even know it was in your first year that happened. But, you know, it's incredible that, you know, you had the opportunity to socialize with other students who, you know, going through the same thing. I know that even, you know, students who are living at home, you know, sometimes felt like, or living in flats and stuff, sometimes felt like they were on their own. But, you know, it's great to see that there was that community. And, you know, the fact that you guys are still in touch after, you know, that things have eased down is really, really a testament to how powerful, you know, building connections and socializing with people can be. And that sort of links to our next question about socializing, because, you know, if our listeners have checked out your speaker page, or people on YouTube have checked out your speaker page, then they'll know that you are on the committee for both the volleyball club, but also for the Portuguese Society. Now, we previously had an episode, you know, talking about, you know, the different societies on campus and, you know, why getting involved in committees can be a really powerful thing. We'd love to hear from you. Why did you decide to join the committees for these societies?
In terms of the Portuguese Society, when I came to this university, obviously it was something that I wanted to have around me, which was also Portuguese people, so I could sometimes feel like closer to home and just share a little bit of our experience here as well. So when I came to the university, obviously it was COVID time, so the societies were not really working. And when elections came and I started to realize that there was not really anyone in society, or it was not going ahead, or unfortunately the people that were there before were leaving the university, so they were not able to continue. I just had this feeling of like, I cannot let this go. Like, we need the society on campus. We need to have this support, this networking between us on campus. So I cannot let the society die. Like, I just cannot accept that. So I went for elections, thankfully, everyone did vote for me and they elected me for Chair of Portuguese Society. This is my second year as Chair of Portuguese Society now. I just pick up the society for basically zero how it was before. And I hopefully that's what everyone thinks. I created something really nice on it. Right now, we're a really big community. And not only we accept Portuguese people, we accept everyone, actually. If they just want to learn our language, just want to learn our culture, or just actually like create a friendship with us, I'm totally fine with that. I don't want to restrict the society to just a few people. It's open to everyone if they want to explore it. So I think that was my most like achievable thing in the Portuguese society. I really wanted to be a good society, and I wanted to build also knowledge that we're here, because we are a small country. It's fair enough, we are a small country, but I also wanted like people to be aware that we are here. We are more than happy to welcome you, and we just want to be like part of this union. In terms of volleyball, I've always played volleyball back in Portugal as well. I played in school. I also play federated in the club in Portugal. So I already knew I wanted to be part of the club, but when I saw that position was open, I just also just went for it. I was like, I think something is missing as well, something that can be done. So I just talked with the chair and I told him like, hey, I'm interested in a position. Which one like would you think that would be the best for me? Because at that time I was not aware of that position, because obviously I was a new student. So it was my first year. And he just helped me through. And yeah, he left as well. Everyone leaves at some point. So after that, I took over as chair of volleyball. So it's been a great 2 years so far.
Thank you for that. And I think, I guess, you know, starting with the Portuguese Society, I think it's definitely true that that's one of the amazing things of having cultural societies, especially if there's one for your own country, that you can, you know, I guess, find your community. You know, especially if you're a first year student, it's nice to be around people that, you know, are from maybe the same country as you. And that's always a great thing to have, because, you know, there'll be those relatable experiences. But also like what you mentioned as well, you know, for people who aren't a part of, you know, those societies, those cultures or from those countries, it is also a really nice way to learn, more about them. So I know, I had a friend of mine who was, he's graduated now, but he went to Brunel and he said that he really liked, you know, the learning about the different cultural societies, so like the learning about the Hindu society and, you know, seeing the festivals that were held on campus. You know, myself, I've been trying to join more societies this year for my master's than I did my undergrad, but, you know, doing things like that, it's always been really great to like see, the amazing things that all these societies do. And I think, definitely, before we go on to the next question, you know, we met at the Society's Ball earlier in the year, and it was incredible to see the work that you guys did there. I don't remember off the top of my head the awards that you guys won, but I'm sure you guys did win some awards, if I remember correctly.
For the first time ever in the Society since it was raised in this campus, we won Silver Award on the cases, which that was quite big for us. It was really important. And this year, we're definitely going for gold. We're trying at least. And we were nominated for Most Improved Society. And then me individually, I was appointed for Outstanding Individual Contribution Award for the societies. So it was definitely a big moment, like, because everything that we have done, obviously, it was just to bring people together. It was bring awareness that of our culture, bring awareness of the things that we always cherish for our whole lives to this campus, because we thought it was missing. And after that, it just, when the awards came, we were not expecting at all. We're just so happy because we've just been focusing, obviously, on making people aware that we do have a support base here and we are here if they need to. And even just for a chat, if you feel alone, anything. So it was absolutely amazing. I was very happy also for the other societies that won. I'm pretty close with most of the societies as well. Even like you were talking, I do go to most of the events from other cultural societies. Like even this week, it was Garba, Diwali, everything. So we always try to like collaborate. And that was one of the points as well in Portuguese society. We started collaborating with different cultural societies. So even this term, we already collaborated with Bangladesh society, Pakistani society, Italian, Spanish. Now we're going to collaborate with Indian. So we always try to mix it up to cultural societies as well. We don't want to just stick with, oh, we're Portuguese. No, we're open to everything. We want to collaborate with everything. And I think that's one of the things that it actually makes us stand out a bit at this point, and I'm very proud of that.
Thank you for that. And I've now got I've got another society to add to my list to check out. So thank you very much for that recommendation. Now we're going to go on to the next question, and I guess for a bit of context for this question, we like to give shout outs to other podcasts and individuals throughout all the stuff that we do on Pick Up the Mic. And one, I guess, shout out I want to give is to Let's Talk About It, which is a Brunel led podcast by the residence ambassadors on campus, and they had an episode about living on campus. So it was people who had either studied, come from abroad, or were home students. And their experience of, going to university for the first time, living, whether they lived on campus, off campus, whether international home students, living away from home. And they were just talking about, their experience. And I know one of the things that was raised there was, this whole cultural difference that people were talking about of their home country to the UK. And also as someone, I might not have lived in Nigeria, but I know a lot about Nigerian culture. I know that especially from family and friends, there is like that, there are some differences in the way things are done or the way people act and things like that when it comes to Nigeria and the UK. So I guess this next question was essentially, as an international student yourself, what were some of the differences you found from living in Portugal compared to living in the UK?
So obviously the first one that we all know is that we are alone here. That's the main difference. We don't have a support base. We don't have much thing here. We just come by ourselves. We're completely alone in this country. So that's the main difference. That obviously in Portugal I had so many people, family, everything, but in here you just kind of have to figure it out yourself until you make that friendship bond around you when you arrive. Second thing for me, the main thing is that they drive on the other side. So in Portugal, we the driver is actually on the left and in here is on the right. When I came here, that didn't clock for me at all. It didn't make sense, but nowadays it's fine. I've already drove in here as well. I would say 100% also the culture difference, and that's for sure. There's so much people from all over the world. Like obviously in Portugal is actually quite diverse. I'm used to having people from different countries, but I'm not used to having people from absolutely every single country. Another thing that I absolutely love about London is the job opportunities and all the opportunities that it brings. Like, don't get me wrong, I love my country. I wish I could stay there all the time, but London do bring so many opportunities. You have anything just right waiting for you. If you want to go ahead and work for it, you do have opportunities. And that's something that I appreciated so much. Those are the main things. Oh, and obviously the slang. I was not used to British slang. It was so hard for me to get used to and actually understand what people were saying. But yeah, you kind of just get to like go with it at some point when you start being here for a long time. So like those are like 100% the main difference. And obviously the housing price, let's not discuss that as well. Comparing to Portugal, it's the big difference as well. But well, other than that, it has been quite fine. I think Europe itself, it's a bit quite similar. It's not as much shocking as it is from people from actually other international countries. So it was not as huge shock for me, although some things still were pretty to be discovered. But other than that, it was quite okay. I'm very happy that I came.
Thank you for that. You know, one thing that kind of surprised me was I thought you'd mention the food, because I know I know a lot of people say that, you know, sometimes English food could be a bit bland. But, you know, I know sometimes it takes time to get to. Was that the same to you? Were you a big fan of English food when you came over?
No, not at all. And I can explain that. I'm actually a vegetarian, so that's why I wouldn't speak as much with Portuguese food, because Portuguese food is very much based on very fresh fish and meat, which is absolutely amazing. When I used to eat it, it was delicious. But when I did stop eating, obviously, I couldn't be as connected with the food as I was before, although we still make variances with tofu and something around that. But that's why I kind of didn't go as much as in the food. And not to mention that in my house, I cook. When I go back to Portugal, I already know my mom is already like, hey, you come back, go ahead and cook. Because she just loves what I'm cooking. And she always say, like, my whole life, I teach you all my cooking. I teach you everything. Now it's your turn to surprise me. So in terms of food, I make it by myself. So that's what I don't miss as much. But I definitely miss the quality of the products. The fruit back in Portugal is just so fresh. It's so flavorful. And here is a bit more blend, I would say.
No. I was going to say, I definitely agree. You know, sometimes, you know, that's why. Well, I mean, I'll quickly give a shout out to my family. We do so every year for Christmas, we do like a different cuisine. So rather than saying, like, for example, you know, we're going to have like a traditional English or traditional Christmas meal, we always just say, okay, cool. So we're going to, you know, pick a cuisine, and then whoever's cooking for Christmas, whether it's myself or my siblings or my parents, just has to basically like cook a breakfast, starter, main, and sometimes dessert, around that culture. So it's interesting. I've been tasked to do that this year. So I'll let you guys know when Christmas hits, how successful that meal is. But I'd like to say I consider myself I'd say I'm a good cook. I won't, you know, toot my own horn and say I'm perfect, but I'd say I'm good. But I'll let my family let you guys know how that goes. But yeah, going on to the next question. You know, you mentioned at the start that you are the EU officer at the Student Union, which is amazing. And we were just interested, what are your plans for this next academic year? What can students be looking forward to that you'll be doing?
So definitely as EU officer, there's a lot of things that I still want to do. There's things that I'm already working on it. But the main points on my manifesto is definitely create some community here around EU students. Because let's be honest, European students, it is what it is. We're actually quite independent people. So we are not as open to being all together as we could, obviously. So in terms of that, I actually want to create a big community of EU students, because I think sometimes we get a bit forgotten. It's always like home students, international, but you are a little bit in the middle because they're not home, but they're also not fully international for some people. So we always kind of just stay a little bit in the middle. So definitely one of my big manifesto points and that I'm working on it is starting to create a community around the students, starting to work more with the societies from different European countries, to starting having more events or more come together, everything else around that. And definitely also start hearing more about EU students, because as I said, like sometimes you get a bit forgotten. So when it comes to issues and problems they're facing, we don't listen as much in terms of we don't have a platform yet to listen, although it is necessary. So that's one of the things I want to create as well, is some type of platform between the union and the EU students, so we're able to express what's actually wrong or what are the issues that we're facing, because that's something that I think is a bit lacking in the community. So those are the main two things that I definitely want to work on. And even as EU student, even though it's mainly for EU, I'm obviously always going to support all the other societies and events going on internationally.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm sure our listeners are thankful for all the amazing things that you've got planned. And yeah, we look forward to seeing those and helping where we can. But yeah, we're now on the last question. Time flies when you're having fun. And essentially, we want to know what's next for you. You know, you've spoken about, like I said, amazing work that you're doing, not only through the union, but through your degree, through just, you know, your passion in general. And we want to know what's next for you. You know, what do you plan to do? Whether this can be, you know, within the next academic year, it could even, you know, if you're ready to answer it, you know, after university, once you've graduated, we can go that far. But yeah, what's essentially the plan for you?
I have a lot of plans, to be honest. Some of them I cannot disclose yet because obviously I'm still working on it. And other ones, I can talk a little bit about it. Obviously, my first one will be my dissertation. I'm in my last year of my bachelor's. So that's something, one big thing that I want to do and be successful at it, thankfully. Another thing is obviously do my obligations as all my committee roles and actually get the awards for it. In terms of volleyball club, obviously last year we had bronze. This year the goal is to get the silver one and more cup colors for the members. In terms of Portuguese society, the gold award, 100%. I'm working on it and hopefully it will work out. So those are like my main university roles. In terms of job wise, obviously I do get more involved in the marketing wise. I'm still working on my Instagram because I used to work with a few brands on Instagram before I was hacked. So I created a new page and I'm rebuilding again. So hopefully it will grow up as it was the other one. And I'm going to be able to start working with brands again as in my marketing degree and as a digital marketing. So those are like my short-term goals. My long-term goals, if you want to see it, you have to follow up my work. And hopefully there'll be great news in a few months.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. And that is the perfect way to end the episode. I guess I first off want to say thank you, Monica, for, you know, coming on. You did, you know, it was amazing to learn more about you. And I think it's really interesting to see the amazing work that you do. But also, you know, I think one thing that I'm sure our audience can definitely relate to and, you know, came through was, you know, your passion for not only, you know, your societies that you're a part of and the clubs that you're a part of, but also the fact that you're actively going out of your way to make a change in students' lives. And I'm sure that, you know, any students listening will truly appreciate all the work that you're doing, you know, whether they're an EU student or they're just a student that's at the university in general. I'm sure they'll definitely appreciate it. But yeah, that might be some. Oh, no, thank you very much. Yeah, like I said, it was really interesting to learn more about you. I was just going to say, there might be some people listening. You might be, you know, as you mentioned, they might be EU students who want to, you know, discuss things with you. They might be students who aren't EU students, but know of some issues that students are going through, and they might be thinking, I really want to get in touch with Monica. What's the best way for me to do this? So what is the best way for students to get in contact with you?
So either you can just message me directly on my Instagram. That's the main platform that I work even in university to say that all the events are going on campus, which is at AnnaMonica _00. Or you can just directly email me. I have a staff email, which is AnnaMonica.SanchoPereira, which is my full name, @brunel.ac.uk. You're more than happy. Or if you're on campus, I'm always around. So please don't be shy. Just come along. I always love to talk with new people and connect with them. And if there's anything you need, honestly, my messages are always open.
Thank you very much for that. And thank you to our wonderful audience for coming back for another episode of Behind the Curtain. If you liked today's episode, a like, comment, and subscribe is always appreciated. If you're not already a Patreon member, then please make sure you check it out. We have now got one tier, so we understand that with the rising prices of everything, it makes it more difficult. So we've got one tier. Feel free to check that out. It's £3 a month. You get some early access to stuff. You get some particular free content for you and some other goodies. So make sure that you check out the link down below in our description. And yeah, just keep an eye out for the next episode of Behind the Curtain. We've got a few things that we're working on. I know I always just say that every once in a while, but I promise this time we really do have a few things that we are working on. And we have, actually, I should say this now, we have a bowling event that we are doing, because this episode will be out for the bowling event. So we've got a bowling event that we'll be doing, and the link will also be in the description below. But if not, if you click on the website or on our Linktree page, you'll see it there. We'd love to meet you guys there. There will be some prizes, hopefully some cash prizes that you guys will be able to win, and you might even be able to, I won't say I'm an amazing bowler, I'm pretty good, so you might be able to beat me and claim bowling champion 2022. But yeah, if you want more details for that, just click in the description. And yeah, thanks everyone, wish you all the best, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time when we discuss more issues in our segment Behind the Curtain. Okay.